You're listening to the More Abundant Life radio broadcast, a program that features inspiring messages and presentations by Dr. Wintley Phipps. My name is Sandra Enterman. I'm your guest host throughout this series, sitting in for Adrian Wesney Jr. We're going to carry on with our series entitled When God Says, with part two of the message When God Is Silent. But before we go to that message, let's listen to a beautiful piece of music by Wintley Phipps and Lionel Harris called My Heart Belongs to You.
Dancing for a sun that warms the morning sky. Who will know the beauty of my earth? Sense the joy and wonder of its birth? Who will see the glory of the world that I have made? And who beside me in the garden, in the coolness of the day? Creation's glorious song that comes from my heart expresses strains of love.
Across the water as it flows.
So this wondrous plan that I
This is The More Abundant Life, and I'm Sandra Entenmann, your guest host for today's program. We just heard a duet by Wintley Phipps and Larnell Harris called My Heart Belongs to You from the CD Savior. Well, let's get straight to our message now, When God is Silent, Part 2. Here's Pastor Phipps.
I am actually preaching a series of sermons. Today, the message is, and two of the other messages will be, When God Says Wait, that message is coming. And then when God says, this is the one everybody wants to be here for, when God says yes. Amen. That's the exciting message, right? But today the message is when God is silent. It is very difficult for us to understand the kind of abandonment and alienation that Jesus endured on Calvary. The Bible says that the chastisement of our peace was upon him. The composer Peter Tchaikovsky wrote about that loneliness, and he wrote it in a minor key. He wrote these tender words, "None but the lonely heart can feel my anguish." Let me tell you, little Johnny had enjoyed a long day of playing and running and climbing and digging and building. And when time came, he knew the rules. Mommy was only going to tell one story, and he had to go to bed. But this time, one more question, Mommy. His mother tucked him into bed. Little Johnny climbed into bed, bent over, put his arms around her neck. "Don't go, I want to ask you one more question, Mommy." And by the way, children can ask you some of the deepest questions. You know what I'm talking about. I remember once I was walking with my youngest boy. He was about 5 years old in the mall. And I was instructing him on how important it is to obey. I said, "Son, you have to obey exactly, and you have to obey quickly. I said, if you obey, Daddy will even think of buying you a bicycle for Christmas." And as we kept walking, that five-year-old squeezed my hand and looked up in my face and said, "Daddy, when you were a little boy, did you always obey?" Here comes the bicycle. My answer was, "I tried, son, I tried." "Mommy," said little Johnny, "you and Daddy tell me that God is love. You said that God has loved us from the beginning of our world. God, Mommy, how could God love before there were any angels or people to love?" His mother sank to the floor. She knew this answer would take some time. Probably would have, you know, you would have said, "Boy, go to bed." But Johnny's mother said, "Johnny, even before God made the angels, he wasn't alone. For God was three, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost." "Oh," said Johnny, "one more question, Mommy. Does God ever get lonely?" His mother thought for a minute and said, "Yes, Johnny, when Jesus was dying on Calvary, he felt lonely." Martin Luther wrote, "God forsaken by God? Who can understand it? My God, why have you forsaken me?" To me, those words of Jesus were also a prayer. I believe he was not just saying, "Father, why have you forsaken me?" I believe Jesus was saying, "Father, don't forsake me. Don't forsake me." Do you realize that more people are alive in the world right now, but loneliness is rampant in this world? You didn't hear what I just said. And one of the reasons that God the Father forsook his son that day was that, for him to be our high priest, to be touched with everything that we feel. Jesus had to go through that experience that you, many of you, are going through right now. And that is, you feel like you're forsaken by God. You feel like your prayers are not being heard. You feel like because of your sin, God has left you and abandoned you. Father, what is keeping you? Don't leave me. Brothers and sisters, all throughout the life and ministry, Jesus tasted all our human experiences except that feeling of being forsaken by God. He had experienced everything that we were going to experience except that feeling of being forsaken by God. In all of his life and ministry, Jesus had never come to the point where, as he prayed, he felt that his Father was silent. He felt like his Father was unresponsive. Jesus had never come to that point where he no longer felt that his Father was not there for him. How often in our lives, when our world seems to cave in around us, and we say in the silence of our own hearts, Lord, don't forsake me. Jesus, don't leave me by myself. Some of you have said it while burying a husband. Lord, don't leave me by myself. Don't forsake me. Some of you have said it burying a wife. Please, Jesus, don't leave me by myself. Don't forsake me. I've seen a mother heaving with grief beside the grave of her only little girl. Don't leave me. I'll never forget years ago when I pastored in Washington, D.C., I sang at the funeral of a 3-year-old girl killed by a stray bullet. They buried her with the one thing she loved, her little Barney doll. When I was speaking this week in Norfolk, a lady came up to me. She said, "You don't know me, but you saved my marriage." Not Adventist lady, she said, "You saved my marriage." She said, "My husband had been unfaithful to me, and my marriage was crumbling, and my pastor handed me one of your tapes that had a song that said, he is able. God is able." She said, "You saved my marriage." A few moments later, I walked by and a young lady came up to me. She said, "I want to talk to you, sir." She said, "You've been a blessing to me today." She said, "I'll tell you why." She said, I had a 19-year-old daughter. She said, I do work for prisoners and for prisoners coming out of prison. I help them." She said, "That's what I do with my life." And she said, "My 19-year-old daughter in Birmingham was sitting at a gas station with her childhood friend, a young lady, another friend from when she was 2-3 years old, and two people started shooting, and a bullet went through my daughter and lodged in her friend's heart, and both of them died." There are times when, she said, "I kept asking God, but the very people I'm trying to help, these are the very people I'm trying to help." When you're grieving over some blessing that has been denied to you, you ever been there? You get depressed, you get passed over on the job when you know you're better qualified. Lord, don't forsake me. Some of you prayed that prayer. Lord, I never wanted to have this kind of trouble in my marriage. Don't forsake me. Lord, I never wanted to be divorced. Don't forsake me. I never wanted to fail like this. You know, there are occasions when we are so puzzled by how things turn out in our lives that we ask God why, and God remains silent. If you're guiding me, why is it going this way? I'm going to give you four reasons why sometimes God remains silent. Sometimes God remains silent because he knows the way we have been living. We don't deserve an answer. Did you hear me? We don't deserve an answer. If you have your Bibles, look at Leviticus 26, 18. The book of Leviticus, chapter 26, 18, it says, "And if ye will not yet for all this hearken unto me," God says, if you won't listen to me, then I will punish you seven times more for your sins. Woo! Leviticus 26, 18, "And if ye will not yet for all this hearken unto me, then I will" what? I will what? "Punish you seven times more for your sins." And verse 19, "And I will break the pride of your power. I will make your heaven as iron and your earth as brass. And your strength shall be spent in vain, for your land shall not yield her increase." In other words, you will never be blessed. "Neither shall the trees of the land yield their fruits." And if you walk, yes, this is in the word of God. I said, yes, this is in the word of God. In verse 21, "And if you walk contrary unto me and will not hearken unto me, I will bring seven times more plagues upon you according to your sin. I will also send wild beasts among you, which shall rob you of your children and destroy your cattle and make you few in number, and your highways shall be desolate. And if you will not be reformed by me, by these things, but will walk contrary unto me," verse 24, "then will I also walk contrary unto you and will punish you yet seven times for your sins." God doesn't play. Let me say it so where you'll understand. God don't play. He doesn't play. So sometimes God doesn't answer because the way we're living, we've got some secret sin, some habit that he is not pleased with. And the Bible says, if we regard iniquity in our hearts, what? God will not hear us. He will not hear our prayers. If we are fooling around with God, he is not going to hear our prayers. So sometimes God is silent because we're playing games. Another reason God remains silent is that he knows that we are asking a question when we already know the answer. "Lord, should I marry this woman?" Boy, you already know that answer. "Lord, should I marry this man?" God said, I don't even have to dignify your question with an answer. You already know that answer. Another reason God remains silent is that we already know the answer. And he remains silent because he knows if he gives us all the answers, then it will be like us You know, when you're a kid and you're in school, you remember the day that you figured out that all the answers were in the back of the book. And you didn't have to study because you could just reach in the back of the book and get the answers. Well, if God always gave you the answers, that would be like you always being able to look in the back of the book. No. Sometimes he remains silent because he wants you to work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. God says, why am I going through all this trouble when you already know the answer? And lastly, God is silent sometimes because in silence we grow. We grow. We grow. He wants you to take on responsibility for your own life so you can grow. You know, we as his children will not develop if he keeps giving us all the answers. So just because God is silent, don't stop praying because you're not forsaken. Amen. Just because God is silent, don't stop praying. You're not forsaken. Jesus prayed, Father, why have you forsaken me? But he wasn't forsaken. Sometimes it takes all the power God has to be silent when some of us pray because he loves you so much. You know, it's like your child. When your child says, Mommy, the child call you from school, I don't have no money. Breaks your heart. Amen. And you jump on Western Union right away. Sometimes it takes all that is in the heart of God not to answer some of our prayers when we say, Lord, don't forsake me. I've been wounded by friends. I've been scarred by my enemies. God says, when you pass through the waters, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not get burned. For yea, though you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, fear no evil, for I am with you. Is there somebody here today? God gave me some scriptures for you. You can write them down and take them home because this word was for you. Praise his name. Deuteronomy 4:31, for the Lord thy God is a merciful God. He will not forsake thee, neither destroy thee, nor forget the covenant of thy fathers, which he sware unto them. Praise Jesus. I am not going to be forsaken because I had a grandmama who made a covenant with God. Said, take care of this grandbaby. God says, the Bible says, he will not forsake thee, nor destroy thee, nor forget the covenant of thy fathers, which he sware unto them. Woo, praise Jesus. Deuteronomy 31:6, be strong and of a good courage, fear God, nor be afraid of them, for the Lord thy God, he it is that doth go with thee. He will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. And Deuteronomy 31:8, the Lord he it is that doth go before thee. Are you looking at it in the word of God today? I said, are you looking at it in the word of God? And the Lord he it is that doth go before thee. He will be with thee. He will not fail thee, neither forsake thee. Fear not, neither be dismayed. Don't be discouraged. He said he won't forsake you. Amen. You will feel like you've been forsaken. But have courage, have faith. God said, I will not forsake you.
Well, I trust you were able to hear part one of this message on the previous broadcast. Are you beginning to understand God a little more? I certainly hope so. To know God intimately and know how He communicates is vital to our Christian walk. I know I'm certainly appreciating the material that Pastor Phipps is sharing with us. What you have just heard was part two of the second message in the When God Says series. The first message was When God Says No, and this one was When God Is Silent. Be sure to stay tuned to find out what comes next, won't you? If you would like to own an audio copy of this message, get your pen and paper out. Seabrook Church would be delighted to hear from you. You can call them on 301-577-6342. That's 301-577-6342. Or you can order a request by email at seabrookav@yahoo.com. That's seabrookav@yahoo.com. The program number is 348. Be sure to mention that, 348. Again, this is Sandra Enterman, sitting in for Adrian Westney Jr. We hope you enjoyed the program again today, and until you can join us next time, we want to leave you with the words of Jesus recorded in the Bible in John chapter 10, verse 10. I came that you might have life, and that that life might be the more abundant life.
Give what's in your heart.